Now, the pandemic and COVID-19 have shown us that we have a dangerous architecture of elder care in this country. So says Sage Advocacy, who have launched a survey which they're hoping will help improve the lives of people in Kerry who need long-term support services. This is coming out in advance of the Commission on Care, which is scheduled to take a look at every aspect of care, whether it's in our nursing homes, whether it's in private homes through family carers, or other aspects of care in our hospitals and our community facilities right across the country. The Establishing an Observatory on Human Rights in Long-Term Care project will examine and explore what are the key human rights issues for people who receive long-term care and support in this country. The project will also examine how such an observatory can contribute to highlighting and addressing human rights abuse. Sarah Lennon is Executive Director with Sage Advocacy, and I spoke to her and first of all asked her to outline the survey and what they were hoping it would achieve.
Yes, so Sage Advocacy has recently launched a project looking to improve the lives of the thousands of people in Ireland who need long-term support services and care. So that could be older people and people with disabilities. And Sage Advocacy has received funding from the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission to look at what the human rights issues are for people who are receiving long-term care and support services.
When people feel and hear human rights and equate it then to, I suppose, elder care, how does that interact? They would maybe associate human rights with more a sort of international theme, shall we say?
Yeah, and the project will be looking at everything from human rights instruments and international themes, as you say, but from everything such as, do you have choice over your day, over what you eat, over things like what time you go to bed, whether you can go out into your community or not. So it really will look at all aspects of care and what people themselves want from it, where they want to receive care, and crucially who they want to provide that support to them. So it really will look at all aspects of care, from very everyday things up to maybe more serious human rights issues as well.
Okay, and from the learnings of it, how will the study be working? How long will it go on for, and when do you expect to have some detail on what people tell you?
What we're hoping to do is to feed into what's coming down the line is a commission on care that the government is putting in place, and we're told by the end of this year. So what that commission on care will be doing will be looking really at what the future of care is for Ireland. As we know, Ireland is a place where people are ageing and living longer. So for each one of us, really, some element of care is probably inevitable. So what we're hoping to do in Sage Advocacy is to feed into that project by the end of this year. And what we're looking for people to do is get in touch with us on our website. There's a questionnaire. People can fill in about their views, and we'll also be holding some focus groups, because what we want to do with this project is hear directly from people who are either receiving care or maybe receiving care in the near future.
Who will you be hearing from? Service users as well as their family members?
Yeah, so we want to hear, I suppose, primarily from people who are receiving care, so I think that's an important thing, so those service users you mentioned there. But we also do want to hear from family as well, because we know there's an enormous amount of family care that goes on in Ireland, informal support. There may be as many as 500,000 family carers in Ireland, so we do want to hear from those family carers as well. What would make it work, what their concerns are, and really what they would like home care, nursing home care, or the types of care to look like.
Yeah, and that covers across, I suppose, the wide breadth of people who are getting care in different settings, whether it's the 55,000 estimated currently receiving home support services, 32,000 who live in nursing homes, and then, as you mentioned, the thousands more who are being cared for at home by a loved one.
Exactly. And it's people across the board, older people, people with disabilities, etc. as well. So we are talking about thousands of people, and it's a growing number. And I suppose we are seeing on a daily basis that there's crisis in nursing home, there's crisis in home care. And while we do need to address those crises, what we want to do in Sage Advocacy is start to look forward to what could be put in place to make sure that the care is good, it's where people want it to be, and it is respectful of their everyday rights to dignity and to have their voices heard.
Yeah. Sarah, one of the big criticisms from, let's say, family carers, just to take that cohort of people, is that they're often not listened to or not heard, or not enough is done in terms of supports for them if they get involved in this and have their say. Could that lead to some change in that area, do you think?
Yeah, we certainly hope so. What we're hoping to do is, to feed into this government initiative, which will be looking at all those things. What we don't want to see is that we will just assume that informal support will will form an enormous part of any future model of care. I think what we need in Ireland is what St. John's Gizzi has always called for, which is a continuum of care, which means that you may need a very small amount of care to stay at home. You may need some care with the day-to-day. And that care may need to progress as time goes on, but that we don't start with nursing home first. And I think in an awful lot of cases through SAGE's advocacy work, we would find that often nursing home is really the first and only option for people. So what we really want to do is make sure that people have whatever level of care they need at the time that they need it, and that's appropriate to their needs. So yeah, if family carers or people receiving care get involved, we'll be looking to feed all of those views back into this commission on care, which we hope will be announced before the end of this year.
Yeah, you've talked in the past, and you've talked when looking at this, Sarah, about what COVID-19 sort of exposed, and exposed a dangerous architecture that exists in relation to our current systems of care. How big do you think the changes will be needed to remedy all of that?
I think a lot of change is needed, and I think, we're talking in some ways about can we meet the demand, but conversations around meeting demand in the future really just are based on the current model, and really what we do need to do is take the learning from COVID-19, which showed that, unfortunately, when a lot of people live together in a small space, obviously things like viruses can spread around that environment very, very quickly, but also that an awful lot of the first response to the virus was just to simply lock people away from their community, from where they live. I think that a lot of older people would say that's not what they wanted, and there was no sense of having a choice about taking risk or getting out into the community as older people living at home might have had. So I do think that we need to take really all of those lessons, but that has to start with talking to the people who are using the care about what their experience was like and how could things have been different and be different the next time.
Sarah, you mentioned demand there and demand for services. Demand is growing, and you mentioned the structures of care that we have in this country being as they are and needing to change. With this survey and with hearing from family carers, we're hearing from people in nursing homes, their family members, maybe the learnings out of all of that, a lot of it, or maybe a certain amount of it's going to come down to resources, isn't it, to put in place the sort of new structures that will be needed and then to meet the demand that's there in terms of the ageing population we have.
Absolutely. And a really crucial piece of work for this new Commission on Care will be to look at that funding model. How are we going to fund this? Because we know at the moment there's a right to nursing home care, but there's no right to home care, for example. If we introduce that, how do we meet the demand for home care in Ireland? And also, as you say, we know that it's been well kind of discussed, the fact that maybe a pension crisis in the future. How are we going to fund long-term care in the future as well? So it's a really, really important role for the Commission on Care, not to just look at the policy or the principles, but actually look at being realistic, what hard choices are going to have to be made if we want to put in place the systems of care that we know we're going to need, they're waiting for us down the road.
Do you think it's possible, Sarah, that the resources will be there to meet the demands, and maybe from that, let's say in nursing homes, you're talking about like the rights of people to have individual choice in every single situation, that's going to depend on the provider as well being able to afford to put those things in place, maybe whether that provider now, and I know there's a wider discussion as well about the private-led nursing home model we have here rather than a public one.
To take a lot of innovation, and I think it's been, there's a lot of research out there which shows that if you provide smaller levels of care earlier for people to keep them at home, that can be much more cost effective, to use that expression, and to keep people, I suppose, away from the nursing home model until it's absolutely required can be cost effective as well. So I think if we're prepared to be innovative, if we're prepared to put in place the right support early when a person needs lower levels of support to stay at home, but as with all of these things, the earlier the intervention, the better, rather than waiting for it to become a crisis and somebody to be really in need, which unfortunately is often the case in terms of our systems of health and social care. So I think with the right planning, I do think it is possible. And in some ways, we don't have a choice.
We have to do it.
We're going to be in this situation, so we do need to grasp the nettle, to use that well-worn expression.
Okay, how do people get involved if they want to have their say?
So if people go to our website, sageadvocacy.ie, there's a full information page there. We do have a project coordinator who's working on the project at the moment, so you can get in touch with her. Her number is 087-960-9419, and she can give you some support around filling in the questionnaire or give you more information about the focus groups. And we would love people to get involved from all across the country. We want to hear as many voices as possible, and we won't take an enormous amount of your time, but it'll be really helpful to build the picture to make sure that those voices get into the government policy.
Okay, Sarah, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Sarah Lennon, Executive Director of Sage Advocacy, speaking about that. A very important survey, given all that's purported to be done by this Care Commission. If you want to get involved, that number to call again, 087-960-9419. That's 087-960-9419, or go to sageadvocacy.ie. That's the website. You can check it out, Google it, you'll find it there, and you can get involved. But if you want to do it by phone and find out how to do it that way, 087-960-9419.